Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the GTC Q1 2020 results. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during this session, you will need to press star one on your telephone keypad. For your information, the conference is being recorded. I will now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Malgorzata Kaplicka. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you at today's call. Today's call is going to be presented by the management board. The management board today with us is Yovav Carmi, Ariel Ferstman, Robert Snow, and Naji Jula. We are all very happy to hold you on our call, and I'm passing the floor over to Yovav Carmi, who will do the first part of the presentation.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I will start going through the presentation. On page three, that's the first page, we will start with the key highlights of the Q1 2020. On the page three, we see a very good performance in Q1. FFO went up 3%. We have FFO at $18 million. We have in-place rent going up 11% with $145 million. EPRA NAV went up 1% to $1.2 billion. And you can see that we have a very strong cash position of $197 million. And this is for the end of March. I move on to the next page. In Q1, we completed around 18,000 square meters of leasing and renewals, maintained 95% occupancy, the same as the previous year. So we're keeping very high occupancy in our office portfolio. We completed the last building of N3 within the Green Heart office project in Belgrade. This is an additional 5,500 square meters that were completed. We still have under construction 57,000 square meters in three projects, which we will touch back on them later in the presentation. They are scheduled to be completed during this year, two of them during this year in 2020, and in end of 21, third one. They will add 11 million euro NOI upon completion and stabilization. currently, they're highly leased. The leasing is going strong with those projects. We had we can report that we are on time and on budget with those assets. The COVID outbreak did not affect us in that respect. During the lockdown period, it was actually the trucks were able to easily go through the city. The workers stayed on site, so we had no problems, and we also enjoyed from a mild winter. A word about COVID. In the office segment, we see everything slowing down. Tenants' demands are slower. Decision-making is much slower. New interest for new offices is slower, and this is what we experience at the moment. I will move to the next slide, page number eight, and we have I think this is a very important slide showing the post-COVID snapshot of our retail portfolio. On the upper left side, you see the footfall. The footfall progress in 2020 comparing to previous year, 2019, for all our five shopping centers. And it shows the footfall comparing to last year in the weeks 28, 27, and 26. Week 28 is the last week of June. And 27 and 26 are the weeks before. On the right-hand side, or upper right-hand side, you see the turnover of those months of April, May, and June in 2020 comparing to 2019. And overall, what we can see here is that Galeria Jurajska, Galeria Polnocna, and Avenue Mall, we are reaching about 80% footfall comparing to the previous year. This is actually a very strong result, bearing in mind that cinemas were still closed in June. They opened during the first half of July, and cinemas are normally significant footfall generators. We see in the turnover that we are getting close in those three shopping centers to in May is around 50-60% turnover compared to previous year, and June is almost at pre-COVID levels, which is a good indicator. A few words separately on Ada Mall. Ada Mall is a shopping center that we just opened about a year ago. Normally it takes time to stabilize the mall, it takes 2 to 3 years. And unfortunately, after 1 year of operation, the COVID hit us. And therefore, we still see a return in footfall of almost 80% in May. We see very high turnover post-COVID, which slowed down a bit in June, and the reason being that first of all we had the opening about a year ago, and the opening was gradual, so the first month was relatively slower comparing to May this year. And the second thing is that the behavior of the COVID in Belgrade was such that at the second half of June, there was a significant spike in infections, resulting in, probably everybody saw on the TV, in riots in Belgrade, in the government taking new restrictive measures. And this affected the visiting shopping centers and buying. This, by the way, continue into July. Regarding Mall of Sofia, we see Mall of Sofia picking up, but picking up in the sense that the footfall is almost at 60%, and the same with the turnover, but the pace of picking up is slower comparing to our other shopping centers. And the reason being that all our other shopping centers are really in a highly populated residential neighborhood. Therefore, the pattern is that, like in a residential neighborhood, people come back to sleep in the evening and they go shopping in the afternoon and they go, and the peak is in the weekends. Mall of Sofia is really in the CBD, in the downtown of Sofia, surrounded by offices. And we will touch on the offices, but we see that offices are not coming back yet. The physical occupancy of the offices are somewhere between 20 to 50%. People still in international companies are not going to the office. They are still doing home officing, and this is the reason we can see Mall of Sofia picking up slower. A few words about the dialogue we had with tenants. So obviously, during the 2 months of from mid-March to mid-May, there were lockdowns in all our shopping centers suffered from a closure because of the lockdown. And post lockdown, we had to basically negotiate with all the tenants. All of them wanted discounts, and on average, we were giving them up to 6 months. Of course, during the lockdown, they paid zero rent, and post lockdown, we gave them up to 6 months discount that varies between 30% to 50% of the rent against an extension of the lease for the period of the closure plus the discount period. I will move to the next slide. We are on page 7. What we can see here is that the split of the portfolio between retail and office and in the various jurisdictions. We see, I think, the main takeaways is that we have around 90% is completed cash-generating assets. A very small portion, which is 4%, is under development in 3 projects, actually. Metrics 2 in Zagreb, ABC 2 in Sofia, and Pillar in Budapest. And 5% of the portfolio is still in planning stage for longer term for development. We will talk a bit more about the development projects as we go on. The next slide is page number 8, where we can see the split of the office portfolio. Again, we have 41 buildings. I think the most important thing to mention here is that we have about 60% of the portfolio are older buildings, between 11 to 20 years old. They typically attract a higher level of CapEx, and around 40% are younger buildings, up to 10 years old. I think this is something we would like to work on, and work on this mix going forward. The second thing I would like to highlight in this slide is that we are maintaining a very high occupancy rate of 95% throughout 19 and into Q1 20. We are at this level also going forward. As I said, we are seeing the physical occupancy in the building, meaning the number of people that really come to the office is low post-COVID. Many international companies are still not coming back fully to the office. They have a policy to encourage people to do home officing. And although we don't experience any collection difficulties with the office occupiers, the tenants on the ground floor, which are mainly amenities for the office occupiers, such as canteens, fitnesses, those kind of tenants are struggling, and to those kind of tenants we're trying to help in order to help them to survive when things come back, because those amenities are important for the operation of the office buildings and important as a service to the office occupiers. I will move to the next page, page 9, which we can see the composition of the retail portfolio. We have 5 shopping centers, I think the important part here is that we are maintaining a very high occupancy rate, 95%. As I mentioned, post-COVID, we have to negotiate with a lot of tenants. This is a really intensive work, and we're doing it in order to maintain this very high occupancy rate. And I will move to the next section, which are the development pipeline projects. This is on page 11. What we did on this, this is a schedule that normally we have in our presentations. We just redesigned it a bit and in terms of the categories that we see here. We look at it at three categories. The first categories are those projects that are currently under development, under construction. I mentioned them earlier in the presentation. We have three of those. We have ABC in Sofia. We have ABC 2, which is about 75% leased. During the COVID period, we leased 3,500 square meters to Commerzbank. This is a very good achievement to be able to do that during COVID. We have Pillar in Budapest, fully let to one tenant, and we are we're busy with the development. As I said, we have no impact of the COVID, as we were able, all the workers stayed on site to work during the lockdown. The trucks bringing the concrete were able to much easier pass through the city. So this is ongoing to be completed in Q4 21. And we have the second phase of Matrix, which is scheduled to be completed by Q4 this year. It's now just under 30% occupancy. We have quite a significant pipeline of tenants that we are negotiating with. Naturally, things are a bit slower than normally, but given the pipeline that we see, we believe that we will have, by the end of the year, occupancy of around 60 to 70%. So this is one category, those projects under development. The next one is those projects that we are comfortable to go ahead with the development quite soon. Those are projects that we either have a building permit at hand or expecting the building permit very soon in the next couple of months. We are comfortable with the market because we have good experience with the leasing in those markets. So if I look at them, we have GTCX in Belgrade. This one has a building permit. In all our recent developments in Belgrade, we are able to lease the asset as in parallel to the development. We have the tower in Sofia, which we have the building permit. Also on this one, we are comfortable with the demand for offices. We just, as I mentioned, were able to sign a very significant lease in ABC2 in Sofia during COVID. And we have Centerpoint 3, which is located what we see is a growing office hub around the Arpad Bridge location. So it's becoming a really important office hub, that area, and we are comfortable with the office demand for that. Then we have the last category, those are projects that we, in the longer term, we are positive about them. In some of those cases, we have a building permit. In other cases, we still need to work on the concept and on the statutory permitting. But all in all, those are projects that we are comfortable that in the longer run we will want to go forward with them. But at the moment, we, especially post-COVID, we need to be more cautious and continue to check the market before we go ahead. So this is our development pipeline. In the next page, page 12, it's a bit of a duplication. We present those three assets that I mentioned that are currently under construction, Metrics 2, ABC 2, and Pillar. So I will, this is all for my side. I will hand over to Ariel to discuss the financial part.
Thank you very much, Yovav. Thank you very much for the presentation. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to do a brief review on the financials for Q1 2020. Just a general comment, the financial statements for Q1 2020 are the figures presented before the COVID impact on the company. As we release our current report a few weeks ago, we do expect 60 million euros, 62 million euros revaluation losses as a result of the COVID impact, mainly on our shopping centers and our retail schemes. And those figures will be impacting the P&L and Q2. And of course, as long as we go, as you have mentioned, that we have undergoing negotiations regarding several tenants on our retail schemes, those rent concessions will impact the operational numbers of the company in the following quarters of this year. So going forward regarding the Q1 figures, we finalized and we have a strong quarter for Q1. There was a slight increase on the investment property, around 1%. The main increase on the investment property was driven by the ongoing construction of our development pipeline, Green Heart, Matrix, and Pillar. It was partially offset by a revaluation loss on some investment properties, 6 million euros, partially 3 million euros on our other shopping mall. As mentioned before, it is taking a little bit longer to stabilize the center, and 3 million euros on fit-out and capital expenditure. Going forward, regarding our cash and cash position, it's still strong, very strong. We successfully refinanced trust before the COVID lockdown with Galeria Jurajska, freeing up cash around 45 million euros. This was partially offset by the repayment of the bonds, around 19 million euros, and an investment on our pipeline projects, around 7.5 million euros. So if you follow me regarding the slide on page number 15, we have our P&L income statement. Regarding the revenue and the rental activity, we have an increase of 5% on a like-to-like basis against Q1 2019. This increase was driven by all these new additions, mentioning the completion of Green Heart, Adamo, ABC1, Matrix A. We partially offset by the sale of GTC White House, very successful sale of GTC White House on Neptune by the end of 2019. In addition, we have a slight impact on the COVID for the last month of March, around 2.1 million euros, mainly from our, as I mentioned, from our shopping centers. Overall, regarding the revaluation losses I mentioned before, 6 million euros, mainly from Adamol and some CapEx and fit-out costs. Just to point out, highlight that we had the one-off foreign exchange losses of 5 million euros driven by the stronger devaluation of the zloty versus the euro. This is correcting slowly as we pass through the quarters, but there was a strong devaluation by the end of March as a result of the COVID impact. All the currencies are on CE. Overall, we end up the quarter with a profit of 3 million euros. However, if we deduct, you know, before tax and fair value adjustments and this one-off foreign exchange losses, we end up more or less on the same numbers that we have on Q1 2019. If I move on regarding the slide number 16, again, perhaps the most important thing regarding this slide, and we published on the current report a few weeks ago, as a result of this the COVID outbreak and impact on our shopping centers, we have breached covenants on several loans. Regarding the loan in the other shopping center in Belgrade, we have breached the DSCR covenant. However, we successfully secured a waiver by the banks until the end of June 2021. The same thing for Galeria Jurajska. We have breached the DSCR covenant as well, but we have successfully received a waiver for the DSCR until the end of June 2021. Regarding the loan in Galeria Polnovna, we have breached the LTV as a result of these losses on revaluations, and as well we have breached the DSCR. We are in ongoing negotiations with the bank in order to relax the financial covenants and successfully restructure the loan. So going forward regarding the maturity of the of our debt, we have in the next 12 months, we have 41 million euros. We are under negotiations with banks, mainly on the office sector, to recycle those loans and refinancing. We hopefully we have better news, great news in the next quarters. Regarding the 73 million euros upcoming repayment of bonds, we have already successfully repaid 40 million out of the 73, and of course we will repay the next installments by the end of the next quarters as well. Going forward regarding slide 17, again, we showing our strong debt metrics. We have a historical low funding cost, 2.6%. We have a very strong interest cover, 4.1, and a very low loan to value, 44%, which is clearly indicate that we are strong enough to face this COVID-19 crisis, and we remained strong as well. So on slide 18, moving on the cash flow statement, not too much changes from last quarter in 2019. If you compare it on like-to-like basis, we are remain stable on the cash flow from operating activities. Just to highlight that, as you have mentioned before, our development pipeline it's getting reduced. Therefore, there was a less investment on our pipeline comparing to Q1 2019, where we had a lot of development activities such as Adamold, White House, Matrix, Greenheart, and we, like we touched base before, we would like to discuss this further and change these things. So I think we can open the discussion for questions, right?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. We are now taking our first question from the line of Jakub Kaizangl from Wood & Co. Please ask your question.
Hey guys, good afternoon, Yovav, Ariel. Thank you very much for the presentation. This is Jakub from Wood. It's been quite some time since the last quarterly results, so I hope you don't mind having me having quite a list of questions. Starting perhaps from the collection rate in retail from March onwards, if you could give us some color on that. I mean, I would expect that the discounts that you were granting have been conditioned on all payables having been covered by the tenants. I mean, is that so? And kind of also on this note, between today and the end of the first quarter, has there been any kind of notable change in occupancy in any of the retail schemes, or in other words, I mean, any tenant defaults?
Yes, so this is Yovav. I will try to answer your question. First question is on collection rate. Of course, before signing any arrangement with any tenant on discounts, we condition that on paying all due debts, of course. We what we see is that the collection is, because the tenants are, as I showed in the graph, the return is gradual. So the collection rate is similar, but it takes longer time to collect because some of the tenants have lower turnovers comparing to previous years. So it means that it takes longer time to collect, but we do not have any debt that eventually is not collected. This is the first question. Second question, yes. We do not see a major change in the occupancy comparing to previous periods in the shopping centers, if this was the question. What we do see that in some cases, some shops need to be replaced, and this is being done. So altogether, the occupancy is not going down, but there is some turnover in tenant. This is not very big, but we experience that. And some shops, which is also important to say, it took them longer to reopen post COVID. A good example is the cinema operator, which could be up to 10% in a shopping center. They opened just now in mid July. So I hope I answered your question.
Absolutely, thank you. Thank you very much, Yoav. That answers it indeed. Ariel, you were talking about this covenant breach and specifically at Polnochna. I was wondering what are the options on the table and how likely do you think that you may be required to inject equity and also kind of looking ahead, do you see a tangible risk that there may be some other project loans where, you know, the covenant, the LTV covenant specifically, may be at a risk of a breach?
Thank you very much for the question. Regarding the negotiations with the loan of Galeria Polnośna, as I mentioned before, the negotiations are ongoing, and we expect to have a successful resolution, hopefully, by the end of September. We don't see any major impact at this moment for the company. Regarding your second question, I think, as I mentioned before, we have done a very thorough exercise regarding our valuations, which will be with this current report that we present, and we don't foresee so far any major breaches besides the one that were indicated on the presentation.
On the current report?
Yes, of course.
Right, perfect. Thank you very much. And I mean, you mentioned this refinancing of some of the project loans on the office side. Can you talk briefly about how, you know, have the conditions changed, the cost of funding, the LTV for secured project financing in the project, you know, in, on the office side that you have?
Thank you very much. This is it's a very good question. I think it's too early to assess where the funding costs will go. We are still in preliminary negotiations for the recycling of those assets, but I think this will be more like a macroeconomic question because we don't see also where the interest regarding central banks in Europe will go as well. So I think it's too early to assess the funding costs regarding. We haven't seen any major changes so far.
Right, understood. And you mentioned this kind of profit warning you guys published like 2 weeks ago relating chiefly to the revaluation loss that you expect to be booked by the end of second quarter, where the retail was kind of the key driver. I was wondering if you can elaborate on kind of the distribution of the revaluation losses across countries and segments, and also if you could comment on the drivers, on one hand there being kind of discount rate yield movements, and on the other hand, you know, any sort of ERV change, if that were a component at all.
I think, as I mentioned before, the main driven of this revaluations losses was the strong impact that our retail schemes suffer. There was a very thorough exercise by our evaluators, where there was a mix between different rent concessions, as mentioned by Jova, between 6 to 8 months and the next 12 months, plus a combination of the yields as well. Regarding the geographic, there's no major geographic. I will say that the main impact of our revaluations losses were on the retail schemes.
All right, over across the region. Would it be then kind of correct to assume that as of this juncture, it is still expected that the rents would eventually kind of return back to the levels that have been modeled in formerly, that kind of the adjustment to the longer term rental equilibrium hasn't really been taking place yet?
I think our expectations are that after this period of discount, this period that we are granting a discount to the tenants, and under the assumption that things will gradually normalize in terms of the people's behavior, and there will be no spike in the COVID outbreak, and no further lockdown or downturn in that respect. So under those assumptions, we expect things to normalize and go back to the pre-COVID levels.
Right.
Probably sometime in the next year.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, looking at essentially the same question from the office perspective. I mean, you mentioned, and I mean, thank you very much for, you know, having remarked this already in the presentation, that the physical occupancy of the offices still remains, especially at the kind of international occupiers, very low. This is, you know, sort of a philosophical question, but have you guys been in discussions with, you know, your major office tenants? And if so, do you have any kind of early indications for, you know, our region, the CE, which is not as well covered perhaps, you know, as the big office markets in Western Europe, that some of the tenants may be expecting to make these kind of more flexible working arrangements permanent and in turn may require lower physical office space going forward, or is that so far not the case, or the discussions have not yet taken place?
This is very early days in that respect. I think it very much depends. And again, our assumptions going forward assume that things will gradually normalize and go back to the normality that we were used to before the COVID. Obviously, this is a very big assumption because nobody knows. This, by the way, applies to the retail forecast as well as to our office forecast. And this is a very big assumption because nobody really knows how things will evolve. Putting all this in brackets, I would say that it's very early, too early to assess how office occupiers will behave going forward, whether they will require less space because they got used to home officing, or on the other hand, and this is something we have seen with many international tenants, in order to reduce costs in the last few years, their tendency was to populate the offices as crowded as possible, as, if you like, close to each other in very open in open spaces, and perhaps in the future they will need to somehow distance the people and give them more room within the office, and this is a counter effect to the home officing because it means that they will need more space rather than less. But to forecast what would be the net of that, this is very hard to predict at this moment in time.
Right, right. Naturally. Thank you very much. I mean, regarding the office leasing, I appreciate that the market has been obviously much, much slower than, you know, what we were used to during the past couple of years. But in case you have some degree of leasing evidence closed since, say, April, can you kind of illustrate what levels have the leases been closed at relative to perhaps what would have been achievable for, you know, a space of similar qualities, similar locations, perhaps at the end of last year? And also, if there have been, you know, certain changes to the overall structure of the contracts, as if lower or shorter durations or some break options?
We haven't seen that so far. We haven't seen such trends with office tenants so far. We, as I mentioned, there were very little new interest coming during the COVID period. The interest that we had before COVID that went into the COVID was closed at the same condition. I mean, there was no change in the conditions in the essence that you mentioned, like more break options or lower, this we have not seen in the office sector. But again, this is, I think this is very early to assess how things will evolve.
Right. Now, this is very helpful, and thank you very much for the clarification. Then two final questions from me, and sorry for taking so much of your time. The kind of penultimate one, can you comment on the transaction market? Because, I mean, there has been, I understand, some degree of activity, even though perhaps not an awful lot. Would you say that there is, especially in the kind of office end of things, because retail with the bigger ticket sizes is obviously yet to come back. But do you see any sort of kind of evidence shaping up as to how the pricing may have been impacted, or would you say that the evidence is still too patchy to have a clear view?
What we have seen is that transactions that commenced or the dialogue between the buyer and the seller started before COVID were able to go through and conclude give or take at the same pricing that before COVID, with very minor, if at all, adjustments. We have not seen deals that started during COVID and were concluded to be able to compare to whether there's a movement, contraction or expansion or in yield. Or this is evidence that we have not yet seen. So to tell you whether yields are expanding due to COVID, there's not really too much evidence for that at the moment, because I think, as we mentioned previously, things slowed down significantly during COVID. I think investors find it very hard to commit when they cannot really travel and look at the assets with their own eyes. And the traveling restrictions are really a burden at the moment. So it's early, and we have not seen transactions that started during COVID and were completed to tell you that there is evidence to movement one way or another.
Sure. Understood. Thank you very much. And the final question for me. We have seen today this announcement regarding the dividend and the decision to retain the profits in the company in light of the external conditions, in light of the kind of risks arising, the breach of covenants. I don't think this is very surprising necessarily, but I was wondering if you could roughly outline in case, you know, you have any sort of view on this already internally, or, you know, maybe it needs to be yet established whether this wasn't kind of a lasting change, but what kind of liquidity or solvency situation would you kind of like to see before you would consider restarting the dividend payments again?
I think what we can say at the moment is that given what we see and what we just presented right now, that we are still the COVID experience is still evolving. We're not over it. We don't know how this will evolve, and we don't know when, and we don't know how this will develop, and those are big questions that nobody has answers. And what we have showed in this presentation and gave a little bit of light on what to expect in the coming Q2 is that we will have to have a dialogue with banks. We have losses that are still not finalized in terms of, because some of the tenants are being still negotiated in the shopping centers. So, but it's definite that this is a hit that we're taking. This on one hand points out to us that we should preserve the cash. And on the other hand, given that we're not the only players on the market and others may be suffering even more and might be more distressed and there might be some opportunities in the market, we would like to maintain ourselves the ability to take advantage of such opportunities and benefit from them. So to give you, and this I think this gives you a flavor of why we arrived to the decision not to distribute dividend this year. I don't think we can give you hard criteria of what will be the criteria to decide to distribute. But for now, I think the flavor that I just gave you is how we see things.
It's very helpful indeed. And if I may, then one final follow-up. Just you mentioned these kind of opportunities which may come up. Would you dare to be more specific? I mean, do you expect that GTC may be purchasing something kind of from the side of developers, or would you be rather looking at more kind of repositioning value-add opportunities, as you know has been the case in the past, or kind of all avenues are open at this juncture?
I think all avenues are open at the moment. I think we've all seen the crisis that happened in 2008, and we saw that there were opportunities in the market for those who were smart enough to preserve the cash and catch those opportunities when they were available. So we learned from that lesson, and this is what we would like to benefit from this experience now.
Perfect. Guys, thank you very much for all your answers and for the presentation, and Ariel, good luck in the new role.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no questions on the line at the moment. Please continue.
Thank you very much, operator. Thank you, everybody. Have a very lovely day. Goodbye.
This concludes the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.